Your Bibles, Matthew chapter 18. For those of you that are so spot on it, there is a section in Matthew 17 at the end that I'm going to join with another passage later in Matthew. So for those of you, I will cover those verses, but I'll cover those together. I think it'll be a more cohesive message. Although, you know this, I tell you, well, I need to preach it in the order that the Lord gives it, so I'm going to do just a little deviation on those last four verses of Matthew 17. So I thought I would tell you that, but we're going to do Matthew 18. Let's read verses 1 through 14. The title of the message tonight, or this morning, is Turn Back the Clock, You Weary People. You lost an hour of sleep last night. And, you know, hey, here's the good news for all those people that you wish you weren't here. You'll get done an hour sooner than you would have last week. And so that was my mentality as a kid, right? I always like, hey, all right, I wouldn't have been out last week. Had a bad attitude as a kid. Thankfully, God never gave up on me and straightened that out. Let's read this. And the word converted, you're going to see the word converted when I read Matthew 18. That means turn back again. Turn back again. So, title of the message, Turn Back the Clock and Become a Baby Again. Every single person in this room this morning, you need to have the spirit of a baby. Now, it says little ones. And so I'm convinced that the primary use of that would be babies. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But turn back the clock and become a baby again. And so let's look at this, Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted or turn back, that could be really dealing with turning from your sin, repenting. It's the similar word that's used for repentance, and repentance is a turning from and turning to Christ. And so, but he says this, except you be converted, and I think if you don't turn and become, so you got to turn and become as little children. Let's read that verse again. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Massively strong statement. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. It's a reality of our life that sin, offenses, will come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Verse 9. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Again, title of the message, Turn Back the Clock and Become a Baby Again. Let me just give you a little background here. Do you find this interesting? Look at verse 1. It says, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, it's a bit interesting that they would ask this question. But Jesus actually has an answer. Do you understand that? There is an answer. There is going to be a ranking, and there won't be jealousy or bitterness, but God, because he's just, are going to bless those that that honor him. And I'm not making a suggestion that it would be me. I'm going to be in the back of the line. But there'll be people that we've never heard of that have honored the Lord Jesus Christ and given all. You understand this? Remember the little widow? She just threw in a mite for her offering. But it was all that she had. That meant nothing for the treasury of the temple. They could do nothing with that. Oh, but God was honored because she gave it all. There'll be people that give it all. They give everything for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll bless them. But who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, I wonder. Now, if you will later in Matthew, actually, we'll see they ask this question again. And we'll refer, I'm not going to go into this a lot, even John's mother, she asked if her boys, James and John, could sit one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now, understand, if this will help you a little bit, what they were thinking is, see, they didn't know yet. They didn't understand this yet. They didn't understand that Jesus was not going to establish his earthly kingdom this first arrival. Understand? They were thinking, who's going to be the greatest in heaven? And we're hoping so. But I also wonder, do you think there was already jealousy? I do. Do you think these guys knew that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain? And so I'm just guessing because... don't do this, but I wonder if Peter, James, and John said, whoa! You can't imagine what we saw, but we're not allowed to tell you until later. Because Jesus said, you can't tell anybody. And so then these guys are like, well, Peter, James, and John just think they're special. And they were. And so, but I want you to understand this, is that there was a little jealousy, but he asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, what's amazing is Jesus actually tells them who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But what he deals with first is salvation. One other thing I want to tell you that I think is interesting. You ever struggle with this? Because you ever struggle that the because I do. Because here's what I believe. I preach it, and I believe the Bible teaches this. I believe that the only way anyone was ever saved from Adam and Eve on was the same way you and I are saved, through faith in the Messiah. That's the Christ, that's the promised one. In his death, the fact that he took upon himself our sin, he was punished for our sin, yours specifically, not generically, for every one of our sins, because he took upon himself our sin, he died, was buried, and rose again, and I believe anyone that was saved understood that. They understood that the Messiah was God, that he would take their place, he would die, and he would rise again. So, have you ever struggled with this? I have. I hate public confessions. But have you ever struggled when you read the Bible, they're like, you will not die? Have you ever struggled with that? How is it that they wouldn't know that Jesus had to die? Do you ever struggle with that, Randall? You should. If you have, no, Randall said yeah. But you ever wonder, well, how did they not understand that? It wasn't that they didn't understand the Messiah would die, but here's what they were confused about. You can't die. You're going to establish your throne. You understand that? It's like you're going to establish your kingdom right now. That's silly talk. Oh, guys, I forgot to tell you. I'm going to die, rise again, go up to the Father, and there's going to be this time called the times of the Gentiles. You have no clue. And 2,000 years later, we're still in those times. So I want you to understand that it's not that they didn't understand that the Messiah would die in their place. But they were confused. What are you talking about? We got to establish this kingdom, and I'm going to be an important part of that kingdom. Yes, you are, just a lot later than you think. And so I want you to understand that, not to doubt that they had a different gospel. They didn't. They didn't have a different gospel, but can you understand the confusion? Then because they were thinking, you're going to establish your kingdom here, right now, and they just, because the Old Testament did not establish that Jesus in his first coming was just to come as a lamb, in his second arrival, it would be as a lion. But I want you to see this. Jesus, what's interesting, before he answers the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he addresses this. He addresses salvation. He addresses and says, to be saved, you must become as a little child. I think I've probably made this statement before, but it's not what this passage says. And I actually don't ever want to say this statement again. I'm not upset if you say this statement. And it says, and here's the statement, if you don't have the faith of a child, you can't be saved. Jesus doesn't say that. I don't think the faith of a child is any different than the faith you need to have. So I just think you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. You must You must commit. You must surrender with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what's interesting is I've thought about this with children, and it helps me, right? So babies now, even babies, their faith isn't that great. You were just up there, Hunter, dealing with Elias, trying to get him settled in, right? Settled in, because he knows red hair and your face, and he knows mama's face. Who are these other people, right? So aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say have the faith of a child? But he did say you must become as a child, and I think there's something to learn from that. So I'm not going to say, I know I've probably said it before, and I don't think it's horrendously in error. I just don't know if it's Bible. That's all. But he said, look at what he says here. I want you to see this in verse 3. He says, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and very well, it could be dealing with turning and repentance unto Christ, but I think his except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you can't enter the kingdom of heaven, what that means is you can't be saved unless you become as a little child. What in the world is that about? And so, you know, I love Sunday school because we can have discussion. Well, this is a monologue. It's one man speaking. I love Sunday school because we can have interaction and dialogue. So I've picked out three things that I thought. And I want you to understand this. The word for this is pahadion. It's a Greek word that the primary use is for infants. And I thought about this. I thought, and I think infants would make more sense to me, right? Because infants, you'll see the description I have. So I thought about this. At first, I used to always think little children, right? So I thought, you know, 3, 4, 5-year-old or something like that. But I'm also thinking, probably not. I mean, there are fiefdom wars going up there in the nursery right now, right? And I mean, I love it. And so, you know, I'll talk about your grandson Ezekiel, right? So Ezekiel's up there, right? Ezekiel's got his turf claimed, and not an issue, right? So I just happen to know Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's like, this is my territory. And he actually has a woman. Who's the lady that he's after? Several. He doesn't know he's not to multiply wives to himself, right? And even Eliza. I mean, she ain't messing around up in the nursery either, right? It's like this. It's like, oh yeah, Ezekiel, you ain't messing with me either. And so, so I thought about that, and I don't know if that's what Jesus was talking about. But if you think of a baby, and I want us to learn, this is what Jesus says is necessary. But I want you to tell you this. Whatever I'm going to say here, I think he says, do you want? And I hope your motive isn't to be great in the kingdom of God, but I hope your motive, if you say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, do you want to serve the Lord greatly? Do you want to serve the Lord as greatly as you can? I leave all that in the Lord's hands, and my motive is not to be great in the kingdom of heaven. But I'll tell you this, if you're a true believer, Sean, do you want to serve the Lord in the greatest way you possibly can? I know, so it's easier to say yes, right? Then it's really difficult doing it, right? But that's what I want our motive to be, is not to be great in the kingdom of God, but God's so good, whatever you do, he will bless you for it. But the first thing I want you to see, what are some thoughts and some characteristics? First thing I think of, as a baby, they're helpless and vulnerable. You see, this is the struggle. You want to be saved this morning. You can't bring anything to Jesus. You have to turn from your sin. You have to let go of religion. You have to let go of anything. And you have to let go of control. I'm telling you, it seems like when I deal with adults that they want the ticket out of hell. They want Jesus as Savior. Nobody wants to go to hell. But they don't want to say, Jesus, you now call the shots. You're the one that gets to decide what my life's about. All you need to do is read the first couple of chapters of the book of Job and find out that's the kind of submission that God asks for us to have. That's the helplessness that God says, you want to go into the kingdom of heaven? You can't bring anything to it. You just submit and believe on my son, and I will save you from your sins, but now I'm in charge. He's still in charge, just to be clear, but he's in charge in a greater way. Understand this, that I don't like this thought, but if God wants to use my life in utter sorrow, ravaging my body, because we're all focused on our body, then I need to be okay with that. Job's okay with that today, what he went through, but it was horrendous when he went through it. So unless you become as a little child, you can't bring anything and be saved. You have to let go of everything. I want you to understand this. It is that you trust him and you say, I will be vulnerable. You are now my master, because the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the word Lord means master, the word Jesus means Savior. You can't have him as Savior unless you have him as master. But I'll tell you, I think I use words weird. I was about to say, it is a scary thing until you know Jesus. I used to never pray for patience, because I almost treated God like, boy, you ask for patience and he'll zap you. Somebody, you know, they'll say, oh, you got to be careful what you ask for. No, you don't have to be careful what you ask for. Don't ask for weird things. Don't ask amiss, the Bible says. He won't answer it. But God's never going to just strike you because you asked for something stupid. Isn't that good? You ask for patience, he's not going to be like, oh, bad request, now I'm going to zap you. That's not God. He's good. But if you're going to be a follower of Christ, he gets the keys. And you say, whithersoever thou goest, I will go. Where you want me to go, I will go. I've got one life to live, and that life will be lived for you. Think of a baby, they're helpless, they're vulnerable. Second thing that I thought about, they're dependent, right? They can't do anything. I think of this, man, I mean, it's like I never had kids before, but now with grandkids, I'm like, oh, they're so awesome. Or grandchild. I'm hoping my kids are watching. Pick up the pace, guys, pick up the pace. And so Elia, you know, I mean, she is, she's a delight. And I saw her just, they send pictures and videos all the time. And they were in Tampa the other day. They were doing some scouting. If some of you know, my daughter and son-in-law are going to Tampa to plant a church. So they were there about a week ago. And I saw Elia just sitting on a float. Totally saying, if you guys say I can sit on a float, that's good. And you know, I'm nervous around water. I was always nervous around water with my kids, right? We almost bought a house when we moved back into Cincinnati years ago, and it had an in-ground pool. We were going to fill it with dirt. I said, I just can't do it. I can't live with it. I couldn't handle the idea of one of my kids just walking out in the backyard. And look, it's okay to have a pool. I'm just saying, I couldn't handle it. So I'm nervous about water. But I thought about little Elia. She looked so happy. And I thought, man, happiness is about one step away, Elia. Unhappiness. But they're dependent on us. Depending on us for food. Depending on us for shelter. Depending on us for wealth. I mean, warmth. Just care. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I want you to understand this. If you want to be saved, you have to put your full dependence on Christ. This is not a cooperative. This is not something where you say, well, I'm bringing something to the party, Jesus. You can't bring anything to the party. All you bring is faith and submission. Just submit to the Lord. I want you to understand that. But I want you to know this. Oh, Christian, don't you discount these, because Jesus says we have to become like little children as well. And I think we have to go back to this same point. Do you know this? I don't know what it's like to be a woman. I just know this, what it's like to be a man. I don't like to depend on anybody. And there's a little bit of amen to that, but there's an oh me to that as well, right? So I get it. I love men. Leave me alone, you know, but we are too independent. And I think that independence makes me too independent from God. I love the amen. It's a good thing. We need more men to be men, right? Not jerks, right? But it's this. Men, can we submit to God like a baby? I think it's the issue of Saul. I thought of Saul this morning. Ah, so close, but yet so far away. He gave God the credit, and then it went to his head. I think it was because he had some weaknesses that some men could have helped him with. I think that sometimes, right? And he wasn't dependent on God, although we are dependent on God, whether you admit it or not. But I want you to understand this. To be saved, you have to be like a little child. Helpless, dependent. And the third thing that I saw, and I'm sure we could come up with a million of them, that I think of babies is moldable. It's this. Micaiah, what do you want to make her? You guys are the molders. A little terrifying. Well, you've got God. You know, I'm just telling you, it's a big deal, big responsibility. Phew. You know, I mean, if Deb showed up tomorrow and said she's pregnant, I'd have a tough time going, oh, thank you, Lord. I love grandkids. Grandkids are better than regular kids, too. But sorry, Charles and Jessica and Carvel, grandkids are better. But moldable. She'll be what you put into her by the grace of God. All right? Can't ever do it separately from God. But I love kids, right? I mean, I'm just telling you this. It's why I'm telling you this. We have the greatest group of kids. Some of you are young adults. I get that. But our kids are amazing. I mean, I know some of you tell me that they get up a lot. I never noticed. God's so good to me. But I'm telling you this. Look at this. They're taking notes. Probably not. They're drawing. And they're like... but I want to tell you this. If we do one thing, we're going to love these kids. I'd rather church that caters to kids than anybody else. Jesus, now, I'm telling you this, he's not a respecter of persons, but he's almost saying, if he leans either way, it's to kids. We need to love these kids. We need to help them. Because you know what? They're still moldable. But you know what? We need to be moldable. We need to go to Christ. You want to be saved? You need to be as a little child that says this, you know what? I'll let go of everything. I'm yours, Jesus, whatever you want. You can trust him. Just like a little baby. Little baby, right? They can't say, no. You hand them over. If you want to be saved, you got to be as a little child. I want that. There should be some good news with that. What that means is stop thinking too much and trust in the Lord. You can trust him. I'll tell you, he's the one that'll change you. He's the one that'll change you. Who did I have a Bible study with this past week? I had a Bible study with this past week. Oh, he was with you. He was with Justin. You're the one that said these words. Justin, what he said was, he's just kind of blown away how God's changing you. Remember you told me that? And because he's faithful. Now, I love you. I think you're a great young man. But it's God that's going to change you. I just want you to notice that. See, I never want you to forget that. I never want you to forget that if one day you wake up and you think Justin is key, it's God that's key. And he said this, he won't stop changing you. He that began a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's awesome, isn't it? It's just, right? The killer is, we can't stop surrendering to the Lord like a little baby. Here's what the Lord says, the second thing. So just so you know, I knew I was going to have more than one message, and I've gone slower than I wanted, so I know where I'm going to quit today. But not yet. Not yet. Then Jesus says this. He says, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, look at this, if you will, in verse 4. So to be saved, you have to become like a little child. If you will, if you allow me, an infant. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves. See, that was the issue with Saul. That was the issue with Saul. He wanted the glory. That's all of our issue, is it not? Would you want to make a difference? You want to make a difference? I do too. There's this thin line that says, I want to make a difference, but I don't want it to be about me. The killer is, if I want to make a difference, I get full of myself. And I forget to think like a baby and act like a baby and give God all the glory because he's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that supplies. He's the one that's given me any ability to make a difference. Oh, I want to make a difference. I tell the Lord this all the time. Maybe you haven't prayed this. Oh, God, use me. And if I can't know about it without destroying me, don't let me know about it. I've told him that. I said, but please use me. I can't wait to find out when I get to heaven. I just want to be used of God, but I'm so worried that I want to be used of God. And you know this, I've told you this before, my love language is words of affirmation. My guess is Saul's was too. Flakiest of all the love languages, right? You guys say, hey, pastor, great message. I'll go, not as great as you think. And bad. I'm just kidding. It's not that bad, you guys. You're like, man, I knew it. But that's why I tell you, don't ever say that. Say, God used that message. It reminds me that God's the one that uses the message. But I'm telling you this. We just talked about babies. I mean, I love this. A new believer, I say, you know what you are? And they always seem to struggle. Adults, you know, in their 50s, 40s, 30s, a baby. You know, they struggle to say, you're just a baby. Spiritual baby. You know what you need to be, Randall? You need to become like a baby. Stephen, a baby. Adam, a baby. Sean, a baby. Marissa, a baby. Of all people, you should know what that might be like. In a good way. We have to have that mindset. I'm telling you, here's how we'll recognize it when it's like, okay, I'm no longer moldable, no longer teachable. I'm no longer dependent on the Lord. Can you go days without talking to the Lord? Can you go days without being in His Word? You become independent of God. Are you vulnerable with the Lord? You know, I'm telling you this, you can pray this prayer. Whatever it takes, God, you do it, and you can trust Him. He's not going to do something weird. Are you comfortable saying whatever it takes? Some of you that are lost here this morning, you know what? If I could twist your arm and get you to believe, I would. But how about just telling the Lord, Lord, whatever it takes to save my soul, do it. Do it. Whatever it takes. You know what? He's not a jerk. I'll tell you this. We ought to be able to say, Lord, whatever it takes. And here's what He's telling us. You got to become like a child. How many of you do we think on that very often? Do we think, oh, I've got to humble myself. I've got to humble myself. And do you know this? It is when people will humble me, I should be thankful for it. Because you know when I notice that people humble me, I think that's an issue because it must mean I thought of myself more highly than I should, and I probably should never notice that people humbled me. You understand that? Do you think a baby ever notices that you humbled them? You know? You change their diaper and they're mad at you because, you know, it's like a little cold gets it to them, right? But they're not worried about, no, not you. Humility. Humility. You want to be in the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, it's not about being important. It's about being faithful. Now, I'm going to add a second one. And I've only got two more points, so just relax. Two more points. The second one is this. Now, I want you to look at verse 5, and I'm going to put it under this. I'm going to attach it to the greatest of the kingdom of heaven, that we could have a discussion, and you could argue that it's not. But Jesus says, and, let's start with verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself with this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. If you'll allow me to, I'm going to include it in the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's those that receive a little child in the name of the Lord. And I want to encourage, I think our folks do love our children. I think we can always do better. Do y'all know all the kids' names? And I'm not as whippy. I know their names, but then I forget. I know Elia's name. I need to know the kids' names. I encourage you to know the kids' names. I encourage you to receive them. I encourage you to love them. I encourage you to be such a part of their life that they know you, love you. And man, I'll tell you what, I don't know who I'm noticing it this morning. It's really weird, right? It's the bathroom breaks today. But we need to love them, right? Need to love them. It is, I want you to know this. God cares much. We'll talk about this next week. How we treat children, how we love kids. Because you know what? He says this, it's not His will that any of these would perish. None of them. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, do the work that won't really get you a lot of applause. It's work with the children. Do the work that it's going to take 10, 15, 20 years to see, did it matter? I always told my kids, I'll find out when you're 20 if you're a Christian. Now it's 30. But I want you to know this. It's a blessing. God's given us children. Hear these children sing. We need to get involved in their lives. We want to make a difference. Get involved in their lives. You know, and so what I tell you is this, is if you're going to get involved in their lives, always be with two. You know, we're in a world that says this, that I'm not going to meet with any of our children alone. I'm going to have my wife with me. And, you know, I'd always advise that you always have a lady with you, so it's good for husbands and wives or two ladies, you know. But you can love on these kids while they're here, too. Get involved in their lives. They probably, this is all the Bible they get during the week. What about just contacting some of them and say, hey, you know what, I'd love to show up at your house this week, and we'll do a children's Bible story right before you go to bed. I'll do it with your whole family. You receive a little child in His name, the Lord takes notice, and if you'll allow, you go back and study this, I think those will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Final thought I have for this morning. Verses 8 and 9 are unbelievable. And so Jesus is telling us that we have to become like a little child, an infant. But He says, take extreme action to become a little child and avoid eternal damnation. I don't know. You know what? You know, it's a horrible thought. I try not to dwell on this a lot as a pastor. There are people sitting here this morning. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. It's the worst thought ever. That you could sit under preaching of God's word, and there can be better preaching, there's no doubt about it, and die and go to hell. Going to church won't get you to heaven. Doing the best you can won't get you to heaven. What is it that's keeping you? I'm just telling you this. You know, the men, we were vulnerable. I told my wife this the other day, and I told the men, I got comfort telling the men, I'll tell you. I looked at my wife the other day, and I said, you know, I have more confidence in your salvation than I do my own. You say, oh, you're a pastor. You're not allowed to say that. Probably not. I'm comfortable that the Lord saved me, but I'll tell you this. I'm still not done making sure I'm saved. And it has nothing to do with my goodness. It has nothing to do with preaching. It has nothing to do with Bible studies. It has nothing to do with helping people. This is personal between me and Jesus Christ. Do I truly know Him? Do I truly love Him? And have I truly surrendered my life? Did I become like a little child? Have I truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, I believe that with all my heart, but I'm telling you this, it's the biggest thing in the universe. I'm not done. I'm not done making sure. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you. I'm not done making sure that I'm not wrong. Do you think there's going to be some preachers that go to hell? Yeah. Just turn on the TV. There's Baptist preachers that are going to go to hell. I don't want to be one of those Baptist preachers. See, I can't lose my salvation. When you're in Christ, it's permanent. It's forever. But I'll tell you this, it's a terrible doctrine if you're not saved and you're counting on staying saved and you were never saved. You following me? I'm eternally secure in Christ, but it's only if I am in Christ. What Jesus says here, He says, cut your hand off if that's getting in the way of you going to heaven. I mean, he's giving you a gruesome, extreme example because He's saying, that's how big a deal it is. This life is but a vapor. This life is but a shadow. It's going to be gone before you know it. These children one day, can you believe how old Carvel is? Just kidding, Carvel. Like that. You have this young man sitting by you that's a grandson? How did that happen? Vapor. Vapor. I'm telling you, Jesus said it's this big a deal. You better make sure you're saved. Whatever's getting in the way, get rid of it. Nothing else matters. Nothing else. Keep studying this book. I'm not done. I will tell you this. I think I love the Lord. I know you sound crazy at times. You know what makes me doubt is I'm still a jerk. I still sin. I sin knowingly. I sin knowing that it's wrong. How dare I? And I'm not going to live life and go, well, I'm just in the flesh. That is not what Scripture would teach us to act like. I want to ask you this today. Are you truly saved? Everybody I meet, they tell me they're going to heaven. Everybody I meet. Hardly any of them mention Jesus until I do, and they say him too. That's what they do. I beg you this morning, and let me talk to our kids. You guys understand sin. God will hold you accountable for it. Everyone on our front row, maybe not Lydia quite yet, getting super close. They understand sin. See, there's not an age of accountability, it's a knowledge of accountability. So I tell you this, not to make you fearful. You need to ask this question in your own heart. Have you truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you truly surrendered to Him? Have you truly believed on Jesus? And I ask everybody in between, all of our adults, are you saved? Whatever it is that's getting in the way, get rid of it. Remember this? Final thought. Remember that rich young ruler that Jesus met? And he said, you got to sell everything. I asked people, do you have to sell everything to go to heaven? And just to be fun, because everybody thinks preachers, all they want is your money. I said, you do, and you have to give it to church. And they're like, I knew it. And I'll say, no. But see what that rich young ruler had? His money was in the way of him going to heaven. And Jesus said, you got to get rid of it. That's easier than cutting your hand off, I think. Plucking your eye out, right? Just get rid of your money. So that you depend on me. Because until you get rid of your money, you'll never become like a little child. What is it in your way? Is it money? Is it pride? Stubbornness? Don't let it damn your soul. That's what Jesus is saying. Oh, Christian, we must become like a little child if we truly want to honor Christ. I must become more dependent, less about Steve, more about him. And you know what? If I become like a little child, you can't insult me. You can't. Oh, that our church would become spiritual infants in the best way. If you're lost today, what is it? You know the gospel. What is it? That's going to damn your soul. Ask God to help you. If you're saved today, let's become vulnerable again, trusting Jesus in all His ways. Let's pray.